of all, a word this morning about not wearing a robe. I know, it's startling. I actually put clothes on and stuff instead of a robe. You think I just wander around town with a robe on, don't you? Yep. During the summer months, I usually do not wear robes. If that offends you, I'm sorry. I don't mean for it to. But I get very, very warm, and when I put that robe on, I roast. I'm done. You could stick a fork in me by the time we get done with worship. And so, I normally don't, because then I'm more comfortable, which means I'm also more comfortable with you, and you're more comfortable too. So, this morning, the worship service is partly in memory of my mom. We're singing all of her, well, some of her favorite songs. My mother was one of the most godly women I've ever met. And I don't say that because she's my mother. She led many, many people to know Jesus Christ and know the love of Jesus Christ. And I posted a Facebook picture and jokingly said this week, no, I don't look anything like her because we're like mirror. I mean, it is like looking in a mirror. I know exactly what I'm going to look like at any age because I can just pull out a picture of her and see what I'm going to look like at every age. So, but we were always very, very close because it was just the two of us. I have talked a little bit about this, and someday I'll talk a little more, but my father was an alcoholic, and he was extremely abusive, and by the time I was 9, they were divorced, and it was just my mom and I, and we had to be each other's support system, and we had to be each other's best friends. We also had to sometimes reverse roles. Sometimes I needed to be the caregiver. We had to try to figure out how to live in a society that at that time still did not approve of divorced women being out of their homes, much less working, much less being the chairs of boards and community events. And through it all, she and I would go to scripture. Whenever we needed lifting up, the psalm that we read this morning was one that we turned to. This passage was another. There's a lot of passages that we could bring up. So, from 1 Peter chapter 2, like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believes, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you were chosen a royal race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Just a real brief bio. My mom was born for, I don't want to say greatness, although she probably was, but she was born to be the stumbling block for those who did not believe in Jesus and did not believe in what Jesus truly stood for, which is unconditional love of all people. My mother could be a huge stumbling block when it came to people who tried to look down their nose or look down their whatever at people who were different or in need or hurting or being discriminated against. My mother was the first woman who was accepted into Oberlin University Law School. She did not end up finishing law school. She decided that her journey was going to take her a different direction, but she was accepted and did attend classes in the law school, the first woman ever. My mother flew planes. During World War II, my mother worked in Arkansas at the training, Air Force training base there. And when they didn't have anybody to scuttle a plane from one place to another, Miss Margaret would put her gear on and go up and take that plane wherever it needed to go. The guys loved it. The commander hated it. He always hated, she said. He always hated to have to come to her and say, okay, take this plane somewhere else. It wasn't that he didn't trust her, because he did. Otherwise, he wouldn't let her go. It was that he had to let a woman do it. My mother never let anyone say, no, you can't because you're a woman. Ever. Ever. She was the one that I learned that I could actually be president of the United States if I wanted to be. I don't want to be. I'm too smart for that. I don't want to be the president of the United States. But the point was, my mother was the one that told me I could do anything. She was also the one that stood up to all the bullies on the playground. She became a teacher. And she taught about not bullying long before bullying was something to teach. Because bullying has always been around. It's just been a lot of hiddenness. But my mom was one that the minute she saw somebody bullying somebody else, she'd go running up. My parents were divorced when I was 9. My mother went back to work. She was a church secretary for many years. She also worked at a vinyl company, a vinyl advertising company, and she was an executive secretary in sales. She was a go-getter. She was one, and I talked to somebody this week and said they have a hard time sitting still. She just couldn't sit still till later years. She was a dynamo. I can remember very distinctly one day when we were in St. Louis. I think I was going to a vocal lesson. And my mother saw some white young man beating up on a black young man. And she stopped the car and got out. Now, I know, I understand, but maybe today we can't do it that way. She stopped the car and she got out and she said, you hellions, you sit down right now. And you know they did, they all dropped. My mom had a voice, you know, when she'd say, Patricia Louise, you'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna die. She sat down with those boys and she said, why are you beating up on this young man? And they said, he ain't nothing but a, and I don't say the word, but you know the one I ain't thinking. And she said, every single one of you is going to wash out your mouth with soap when you get home. This is your brother in Jesus Christ. God made him. Don't you ever look down upon him again. He's got more class in his little finger than you will ever have in your whole body. Now get out of here. And boy, they ran. Now do you know where I'm getting some of my stuff? Do you recognize any of this stuff? We had two ladies that lived together in Washington, Missouri in the 1960s and 70s. Everyone in town called them companions. They shared expenses. They shared a home together. My mother was extremely good friends with them. She went to coffee at their house, tea at their house, dinners at their house. She had them to her house. They were always invited. And when they came to church and saw my mom and I sat in the fourth pew on that end every week. Yes, there are some things that don't change, even if you are progressive. Fourth pew on that end, when they would come to church, as long as mom and I were there, they'd stay, because if mom and I weren't there, they would be asked at the door to leave. They were gay. They were quiet. They were secretive. They didn't cause anybody any harm. They didn't do anything to anybody. They were the sweetest women in the entire world. I called them both my aunties, and I loved them both. But if my mom was around, you didn't ask them to leave. Nobody was asked to leave. My mama lived the gospel. She lived. She used to tell me, if you do nothing else, go to the Lord like a baby. Go to the Lord and say, help me, Lord. I don't understand what I need to do. I need your spiritual milk. I need your guidance. I need your wisdom. If it's what the world says, that's fine. But if it's not, Lord, tell me and then give me the courage to stand up and say, this isn't right. Now, there's a lot of folks who have a hard time receiving unconditional love. There are a lot of folks that have a hard time giving it, too. But I want to talk to the people who have a hard time receiving it. Right now, I want you, if you have trouble receiving unconditional love from every single human on the face of the planet, I want you to open up your heart and let it in. And let it wash out all that other stuff. All the tapes that say, oh, no, they won't like me if I don't. Oh, no, I have to do things this way or it's not right. Oh, no, this is technically what things say in the rule book says. You know what the rule book says? First and foremost, love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and love your neighbor as yourself. It says that more times than it says anything else in all of Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New. Let that love come in. Let that love come in. Just like it was your mama's love. Now, some of you didn't have real great mamas. So think of that person who is your great mama. And let that love come in, just like it was your mama's love coming into your heart. Just let it wash all that ugliness out. My mom used to say, when we would pray together, my mom used to say, you know what? I see a spot of dirt on you. Do you think we can pray that out? And she didn't mean I had a spot on my shirt, although I probably did, but she meant inside. I was angry, I was hurt, and so we'd pray about it. Lord, take this ugly spot out so that I am all beauty to you. My mom was not perfect. By any stretch of anyone's imagination, my mom was not perfect. However, she was good. She was godly. She was loving. Our scripture tells us today that God is the same way. Another woman, who I call my doctor mom, was able to give me something that my own mother was never able to give me, to help complete that wonderful picture. I think all the women in our lives can do that, just like all the men in our lives can do it. I'm going to do the same thing. Well, not the same thing, but, you know, with Father's Day. Don't worry about it, dads. I love you. I've had some wonderful dads in my life. I truly have. I wouldn't be here. But today's Mama's Day. And I have a mama who is my adopted mama, and it's not legal, and it's not binding, and it's only a love adoption. But she was able to say to me the one thing my mother, my own mother, who I just told you all about, was never able to say. I'm proud of you. My mother, who loved me so much, never once, told me she was proud of me. I graduated Valverde Dury, and I had straight A's. I went to the Metropolitan opera auditions. I did all kinds of things, and my mother not once ever said, I'm proud of you. So those of you who need to hear from that scripture, God is so proud of you. God is so proud of you and will put stumbling blocks before those people who make you feel less than wonderful. And will put stumbling blocks before those people who make you feel inadequate. And will put stumbling blocks before those people who will make you feel as though you don't belong somewhere. And will put stumbling blocks in those places where you don't think you've done enough, you're good enough. God is our mother. And she loves us so much. And she's so proud of all of us. Let us pray. This morning in Sunday school, they teased me about how I always say, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, thank you. And I do. I've learned that from so many women and so many men in my life. I can't tell you who actually taught me all of that. But gratitude is one of the biggest ways that we can be filled up with love from God. If there is one thing that I can be truly grateful for and will continue to be grateful for until my dying day, it's that the Lord Jesus Christ wants me to walk with Him. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to walk with Him. The Lord doesn't ask you to be perfect. The Lord doesn't ask you to be everything to everybody. The Lord wants you to walk with Him. As we stand and sing our hymn of invitation today, take that journey. Say yes. Walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand and sing.